Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Indeed it has. And we are back. It is exactly 1 week since opening day, and the new year has begun. I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Happy New Year, and welcome to West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast.
It has been a crazy week. We are here to look back and wrap up what happened.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff happened opening day and throughout this opening week baseball. Some unexpected, some expected.
A lot of really weird things. A lot of kind of unexpected things happened, or have happened so far. But we'll get into that shortly. As always, please give us a little shout at Podomatic website, on iTunes, or on... through email, old school, I guess, you know, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. I'm a little upset right now.
You're upset?
I'm upset, yeah.
Why? Because there's something wrong with Kershaw?
No, because Strasburg just gave up 4 runs as we're currently speaking right now.
All right, he's Conforto on your fantasy team, isn't he?
He's on my fantasy team, yeah, and I needed a quality start. He might still get the win. I don't know. I mean, Cespedes just hit a home run off him, which is okay. All right, I'm breaking even there because I have him. But Michael Conforto back his very first game, coming back on the DeGrom-Strasburg game, which is currently on as we speak, just hit a 2-run shot to put the Mets up 4-2 off Steven Strasburg. Unbelievable. I'm pissed. I'm upset right now. I'm beside myself. So I'm going to have an angry bent the rest of this episode.
All right, well, that'll make for good radio, I suppose.
Yeah, but not good for fantasy. But, you know, it hasn't been that easy for a lot of pitchers this last week anyway. So we've had a lot of surprises. And to answer your previous question, there's nothing wrong with Kershaw, okay?
So I know there's nothing wrong with Kershaw.
Nothing wrong with him. He's
just
fine.
Just his win-loss record is,
right,
is about it.
Right, last time I checked, a 2.25 ERA is pretty damn good. And a K per 9 over 9, I think he's doing fine. It's just he needs a little offensive support. If we could, the Dodgers could spread the runs around a little bit. You know.
Instead of blowing out the Giants 2 games in a row,
right,
they could have used some of those runs,
right,
against
some of those
Arizona.
14 runs, yeah. Yeah, instead of getting swept by Arizona. Dodgers just got swept by Arizona Arizona.
And they still have a positive run differential.
Dodgers
so.
Do, yes, that's true.
Is this indicative of any sort of postseason hangover?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Just, I don't think so.
Just bad luck? What's going on?
Well, look, the Dodgers' number one hitter is out of the lineup. The guy right in the middle. The guy that's consistent. Justin Turner, the guy that's going to hit 340 for the first half of the year, as he always does. The guy who's going to get runners in and also just be a stalwart in that lineup that you can count on. He makes everybody else better, you know. When a guy like that goes out, especially, you know, he's definitely a veteran in that team too. When a guy like that goes out, it has ripple effects, you know. It's all right. I'm not worried. It'll be okay. Dodgers will be fine. Like you said, they still have a positive run differential. They just, kind of like the Giants, finally figured out a way to get some runs, but, you know, in one game. It's sort of like,
right,
get them
all
in one game. It's not really going to help you. Yeah.
6 runs to the
spread
first 4 games, and then,
right,
10 runs in the fifth.
2 runs through the first 4 games. 2 runs. Right? Yeah, because they got shut. Yeah, right? Anyway, I don't know. It's been a long
time. Two runs to the first four games, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Six anyway. Runs to the first five, and then 10 in the sixth.
Yeah. It's been really strange. It's been a weird week. You know, Aaron Judge didn't get a home run until, what, yesterday? Until Wednesday? Yeah. Almost a week.
But, and he homered in a game also with both Judge and so we're talking about with Stanton and the guy in the middle who everyone is talking about as well.
What, Ty Block? What are you talking? Who? That was Sandoval? What's going on?
No, the Yankees, the down. Yankees hitters.
Oh, the Yankees. Sorry.
The Yankees. We're talking about the Yankees. I know it's West Coast bias, but you brought up Aaron Judge.
Oh, I'm all disheveled from that. That Conforto home run, unbelievable.
That's what you get for watching East Coast baseball in the morning.
That's all I've been watching. I don't have any like West Coast players except for Nelson Cruz on my team.
And he's on the DL.
It's a tough DL stint. I know he probably wouldn't have got a lot of playing time in San Francisco, being in National League Park. But had he been in that first game, that opening day where they struck five singles in a row or something, I would have loved to have Cruz right in the middle of that lineup. Yeah. That would have been
infield single, bunt single, walk, single, single, 4-0. And oh my God, it's going to be a long season.
Another strange event that happened this last week. And then another guy I do have on my fantasy team, Edwin Encarnacion, got a inside the park home run.
I saw that.
I don't think I'd ever see that. That was pretty good. And then somebody like Tim Raines has one in his career also, which is kind of funny. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was a little funny.
Eduardo Nunez also got a...
Eduardo Nunez, yeah. That's right, who I have on my team as well. So I have two inside the park home runs. Carlos Correa got an inside the park home run as well. I don't have him, but even with the bum foot or the bum knee or toe, or his toe. He just had like a bum toe or something. I don't know. And then he was tested immediately. George Springer led off his second career opening day with a home run. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Houston is showing no signs of any kind of postseason World Series hangover. They're 6-1 to start the season and right. Just as much fire as they ended the season with last year.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know. I think that they actually do have the best record, the best starting record of any champions. Incumbent champions, basically. What are they? 6-1
to start the year.
And interestingly enough, the Giants never won a 1-0 game all last season, but then the first two games of this season, they've already won two.
Yeah. First team in... second team in Major League history to start the season with two 1-0 victories.
Second team to do it.
Second team. The first team was the 47 Reds.
But the way they did it has never happened in history.
That is true. A solo home run by the same player in consecutive 1-0 shutouts is the first time that's been done at any point in the season, let alone to start. Joe Panic.
That is pretty crazy. What's
getting
up with
in the records books?
He's the only kid in that infield, in that whole field, actually, of the Giants that's under the age of 30.
Is he
trying to inject some?
He's leading the Giants in all major offensive categories at this point. Fortunately, they did start to score some runs in their home opener that didn't involve Joe Panic, but Joe Panic did hit another solo home run in the home opener, and I was there for that game, and after that, and still no offense from the rest of the lineup, I started to have a little nightmare. Are they going to go the whole season and just rely on Joe Panic for 100% of their offense?
I hope so. That would mean an easy 98 loss season again. wow, so you went to two opening days this year.
I did.
I went to one.
I got lucky.
I thought that was okay. Yeah, all right. Wow. Yeah, you went to two. We did see Shohei Ohtani's first hit as a major league.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
In Oakland, his first at bat too. It was a nice, solid single. And then you went to the Giants home opener, which was a pretty bad loss, if I remember correctly.
It was, it wasn't as close as the final score would seem to indicate.
Right.
They were down, looking pretty weak, pretty meek, for the first 7 innings of that game, and then they finally scored, you know, 3 more runs to make it somewhat interesting, and a final score of 6-4.
Not nearly as good as that A's home opener.
No, that was a highly entertaining game.
4 home runs in that game. Yeah, that was a great game.
Including one of the greats, Albert Pujols, hitting number 615 in his career.
Right.
That was pretty cool to see.
And Mike Trout somehow going 0 for 6.
0 for 6. Yeah. No one saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming. Definitely not. There were a lot of pretty good opening day games, right? I think you...
There were a number of notable games opening day. The start at the top with the Yankees in Toronto. Stanton hit 2 home runs in his Yankee debut, the only other Yankee to hit multiple home runs in his Yankee debut was Roger Maris in 1960.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so. Great game in Texas with Houston. Of course, already said Houston is looking good. No signs of slowing down thus far. Springer, home run, his first at bat to start the season, just like last year. So that looks pretty good for them if you believe in patterns. What else I got? In Arizona, the bullpen cart was not used.
Have we confirmed that? I was actually wondering. I haven't seen it be used, and I've heard a lot of people talking about how they don't even want to use it. But has it not been used at all?
As far as I know, I have not seen any highlight yet that involves the bullpen cart.
Right. It's a bit antiquated. It's not. Guys are just in shape now. Everybody on the team is in shape.
Right.
It's not like how it used to.
You know, one of the players back in the 70s joked that we probably couldn't have made that run out there as everyone was just chain smoking
right.
out in the bullpen.
Exactly.
They would have died wheezing on the way to the mound.
Now guys like it. Like, you know, even Zach Godley runs off the mound between innings. Like, he, you know, as a starter, he runs to the dugout. You know?
I think ultimately that's a good look. I don't mind the pitcher walking off the mound to end the inning, but he shouldn't be the last person off the field either.
Right.
He needs to be in the dugout before, say, the right fielder.
Yeah, it could be like a Scherzer walks, but he does like those long stalking strides, a fast sort of walk that I kind of like. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really care. I think most relievers like the time that it takes them to get from the outfield to the mound, or in some cases, the Cubs or the Giants, right? It's just right there. You're already on the field, so
yeah.
There's not much of a walk.
I don't think that the bullpen cart is gonna do anything for shortening the length of the games.
No,
in fact, it'll probably be the opposite. You got to wait for the cart. You got to get in the cart. It's got to go through the gate, and then it's, you know, drives up there. You get out of the cart. The cart drives away, and they've got to put it away. Meanwhile,
are there two carts for the away team if they want to get in? I'm sure they don't really want to get into a cart that says Arizona Diamondbacks.
I don't know.
But I would imagine that they have.
Maybe they might be, but I don't know. I haven't confirm that either.
Yeah, it's not that important.
Opening day also saw a couple of walk-off home runs.
Yeah.
Adam Jones for the Orioles.
Right.
Against the Twins. And Markakis.
Nick Markakis, that's right.
And then the other wild, wild game. It didn't actually happen on opening day because there were two postponed games. Without the postponements, it would have been the first time that all teams opened on the same day since 1962.
Wow.
But the weather gods had something other to say about that. But when they actually did finally play Pittsburgh at Detroit, there was a wild one. It was ended up being a 13-inning game. During the course of play, the home plate umpire was hit by a foul ball and had to leave the game. So the game was finished with a short umpiring crew. And then there was a controversial call at the plate that was reviewed and overturned.
Is that the 11th inning or something?
It was the 10th inning.
10th inning.
Play at the plate would have given the Tigers a walk-off victory, but instead it was overturned, saying that the player was tagged out.
It was sliding
into home plate. He was called safe originally.
They thought the game was over.
They thought the game was over. Tigers had celebrated, ran off the field, and they reviewed it, and not so fast. Go back out there and play the next inning, and went 13 innings in the top of the 13th innings for the Pirates. Polanco blasted a 3-run home run, put them up in the lead for good, and the Pirates ended up winning that game. Definitely a wild one. The other thing about that game, at 5 hours and 27 minutes, it was the longest season opener played in Major League Baseball history.
Wow. Speaking of long games, what do you think of this Gabe Kapler with Philly going using 21 pitchers in the first 28 innings in the first three games? That's insane. He even used Pedro Florimon, who's the utility infielder, as a pitcher. And did you see he went out, what was it, Nola? He pulled the pitcher. There wasn't even anybody warming up. That's ridiculous.
A rookie manager. And, you know, if you're using a regular infielder to pitch
it's insane.
Of the season, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, he doesn't have any experience. He has a one-year minor league experience, I think, as a manager.
How do you not get someone to warm up before you go and bring him into the game?
I mean, it's like mistakes happen, but I've never seen that happen. I've never seen somebody call to the bullpen and there's nobody in there. It's like, come on, man, what are you doing?
We've seen people call for the wrong guy.
Sure.
But
at least there's a guy warm. I mean, that's dangerous for the pitcher. Lane let him warm up a little bit, even though he didn't have to. But just for the sake of the poor kid,
Coming off a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I mean that's brutal.
He did get a
Hobie Milner. Yeah,
he did get a formal warning from Major League Baseball that nothing's going to happen this time. But something like that happens again, there'll be some sort of punishment. What that may be is anyone's guess, but there was a warning issued.
I mean, yeah. Jerry Lane was quoted afterwards as saying, whoever's at fault on the Philly side should have to answer to Major League Baseball. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to blow it too much out of proportion, but maybe something, at least just for putting your own player in jeopardy. Like, that's kind of crazy. 22 pitching changes after four games. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of scrutiny. He's, you know, maybe he's nervous. I don't know. I've never seen that before. That's insane. That was kind of
crazy. Second guessing himself and went way over the 7 mound visits a game.
I mean, he's making Dave Roberts look patient. It's kind of crazy, man.
Out of the shortest hook I ever saw was Felipe Alou, who's managing with the Giants and the Expos.
Yeah, the Expos.
When he was with the Giants, he would bring a pitcher in, and if the pitcher walked the first batter, he would be right out of the game. You're not ready to pitch. And he'd bring the next guy in. He had a really quick hook. 28 and 22 innings, that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's stupid. I don't know. It is kind of funny, but Pedro Florimon, the infielder that the utility infielder that he used, who's not a pitcher, obviously, made it to the mound before Garrett Cole, who is a pitcher. D. Gordon hit a home run before Aaron Judge this year. And Luke Mayo Mally stole a base before D. Gordon did this year. It's been pretty strange week so far. I think, what did Stanton have, 5 strikeouts the other night? 5 strikeouts in one game? What do you even call that? I mean, the Golden Sombrero is 4. What's 5? It's just a Stanton, I guess. You just call it a Stanton.
I don't know. It should be
called an Adam Dunn, but I don't even know if that's happened that many times. 5-1? And then he hit a home run last night, and the fans were a little bit happier after that. But still, I mean, Jesus, Stan, come on, man. See some pitches, you know? Anyway, we have looking to grab into our little mailbag here. A couple letters took last week off. It's, we've been going to some baseball games, and we do apologize. We are back, though, and we have a question. It's a brief email from Mandy Rooney in Lakewood. I like that. Hey, guys, great show. I was wondering what happened to my favorite 3 true outcome player, Chris Carter, and where is he playing? I know he's polarizing, but I like him for fantasy, but can't seem to find him. Appreciate any help. Well, it's funny that you ask, Mandy, if that is your real name, because I was just reading an article today on MLB.com by Will Leach. It's a nice article updating a few fading stars we all know by name and where they're currently playing. Spoiler alert, all in the minors. But Chris Carter is playing for the Salt Lake Bees. It does seem kind of crazy that just 2 years ago, Chris Carter led the National League in home runs with 41. That same year, true to form, he struck out 206 times, walked 76, and counting his 9 hit by pitches, that means that 52% of his plate appearances required no fielders to even move a muscle. That's pretty good. But you know, I think the Salt Lake Bees are part of the Angels organization, so you know, it's not out of the question to think that if Albert Pujols gets injured at some point during this year, and or if Otani doesn't keep mashing the cover off the ball, we might see Chris Carter in an Angel uniform. We'll see. I'm not too keen on him for fantasy purposes, but you know, like she's saying, he's kind of like a better Chris Davis with a C, right? Because he still does seem to hit like 40 home runs. Chris Davis, his power has been waning and his average has been
with 200 plus strikeouts, right. That's
yeah. And with Chris Carter, you're gonna get the 200 strikeouts, but you know, you're gonna at least get 35-40 home runs, you know, and you could platoon him a little bit easier, I think. Anyway, so he's out there, but not really for fantasy purposes. Let's see, we have from Mitchell in Petaluma. As a loyal Twins fan living in California, there's usually not many people I can talk about baseball with, but I wanted to hear your opinions on Berrios' last start. Oh, yeah, where he had a one-hitter going through 9th. I'm still kind of upset, but wanted to hear your thoughts. Get over it, Mitchell, okay? Yeah, yes. Berrios had a one-hitter going into the 9th, and then who was it? Chance Sisko, who actually had the only hit into the game. It was a double. I think it was a misplay from Eddie Rosario that was ruled a double for Chance Sisko. But then he came up in the 9th. They had an extreme shift on him, and he just pushed a bunt up to the third field line. There's nobody there. Yeah, who cares? Yes, that's exactly what he should have done. I mean, Berrios had a one-hitter. He didn't have a perfect game going. He didn't even have a no-hitter going. He had a one-hitter going. And people were pissed. I mean, even who was saying, what's his name? Their leadoff hitter, Brian Dozier, was angry afterwards. Come on, you know, it's the shift. That's the game now. You know,
yeah. If you're gonna leave one side of the infield open,
don't get mad
if someone takes advantage of that fact.
Exactly.
Most players don't. Most players do follow the Barry Bonds model, is that it doesn't care where you stand in the outfield, in the infield, I'm going to hit it over everyone's head anyway.
Well, and again, like, Barry could do that. Most guys are going to have to adapt, though, and change the way they're playing, because the game is different now. It is.
It is different. Everyone is shifting. I haven't saw some shifts the other way. Usually we'll see shifts for the left-handed hitters.
Right.
Saw a shift against the Giants for the right-handed hitters.
Really?
They lined up three on the between second and third, and leave just the first baseman over there somewhere between second and first.
They didn't have so they had three guys between.
They moved the second baseman over behind the bag.
Yeah,
and they had and the shortstop.
Did it work?
The thing, I don't remember the outcome of that specific play. But it was definitely there. I had not seen a shift to that side for a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, and you know, there's all these unwritten rules in baseball, which are dumb. I mean, honestly, I love tradition, and I don't want to see rules change. Real rules, you know. I don't like really.
You're a traditionalist that way.
I guess. I think most baseball fans are as well. But you know, the shift, you know, it's just an aspect and a strategy of playing the game. There are nobody's changing anything, rule wise, and the unwritten rules, whatever that means, is it's stupid. I mean, whatever, you know, unwritten rule, like you don't talk to a pitcher during no hitter, blah blah blah. All right, fine, that doesn't really affect anybody. But when you're talking about unwritten rules that affect the outcome of the game, yeah, that's fuck though. I'm sorry, but you know, it's dumb, and you shouldn't be butthurt afterwards if a guy does exactly what Francisco did. I love it. I know, you know, people who have Berrios as a fantasy player might not have loved it, but hey, he still got the complete game shutout. You know, he went from a one hitter to a three hitter. I like the adaptation. I like it a lot because I wished more of the players and the team that I like personally on a personal level did it more often as well. Just because, yeah, like you said, not everybody's Barry Bonds. I mean, I wouldn't presume to tell Barry Bonds that he needs to switch his swing. But again, this was 10, 15 years ago. The game's changed a lot. In fact, in 2011,
so you told me earlier that the differential.
You were asking if it works. Does the shift work?
Right.
And that's a good question. In 2013, just for comparison, 5 years ago, 2013, there was 6,882 shifts. Sounds like a lot.
That's amazing that people count these. But
they do. I know.
Issue.
It's great. We're living in a great time. Well, 2010, it was 2,460. 2013, 6,882. Shifts last season, 26,705.
Wow.
Yeah. That's 19,823, if the math is correct, differential from 2013. Now, does it work? Well, based on the amount of times people are doing it, it seems to be working. But it could just be people following the leader. But in fact, it does work. Because if you are a left-handed hitter who pulls ground balls, your chance of reaching base is 197. Either via hit or some fielding mishap.
No, sir.
That number is
40. On-base percentage, OBS?
40, yeah. That's not batting average. That's just OBP. That's 40 points lower than it was in 2011. In 2011, the OBP for a lefty on a ground ball was 235, which, you know, it's still not great, but at least it's 235. 2017, 197. Yeah, it works. It works. If you are a lefty and you're going to hit the ball on the ground, you're screwed, essentially. I mean,
so you should maybe think about then inciting out some balls and going the other way.
Right, exactly.
To left field.
Yeah.
Or
bunting or laying down these push bunts all the way up the third baseline where it's no man's land. Yeah.
It'll stop the shift.
Well, it might not stop the shift. Well,
if enough players do it often enough, it won't get 26,000 plus. You know, you get less if there's more players that are willing to inside out a ball or lay down the bunt and go the other way and use that side of the field that is obviously there for the taking.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a sign of the times, because I think 50 years ago, if you asked somebody about that, I mean, Ted Williams was the only guy really that people shifted against, at least famously, and he didn't care. But
right,
again, he's a lot like Bonds. He didn't have to care because he's such a good hitter. He could just hit a fly ball over their heads. I mean, you can't shift a fly ball. But most people, as Wee Willie Keeler said, hit them where they ain't, right? I mean, I'm just going to hit them where, where they're not standing. Right. That's a true hitter right there.
Yeah. We'll Babe Ruth says, well, they're not over the fence, so that's where I hit them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Ty Cobb would do that. He would choke up and hit the ball wherever he needed to, and that's why, you know,
that's why he was a great hitter.
Yeah, he was possibly the greatest hitter of all time, right? Except for maybe this right-handed hitter that we see currently, Ichiro, 45 years young. Still doing great, man. He's still robbing home runs. He's still stealing bases and getting infield singles. I mean, it's great to see. I do like seeing that. But anyway, yeah, I think shifts are fine. They're frustrating at times. But again, like you're saying, if guys just adapted their swing and started actually hitting the ball the other way or trying to just slap a little single, they wouldn't be so dramatic and they wouldn't be so overwhelming.
Right. The steam shift that we saw in Oakland when we were there for opening day to end the game.
Oh, the last play of the game. Well, it wasn't a shift so much as it was just pulling the outfielders, basically.
But that's a shift. That's a defensive shift. I guess, and it left center field wide open. And guess where the hit went to center field? It would have been caught. It would have been an out. Possibly wouldn't have been. Play at the plate.
There was a man on third with one out, and it was the bottom of the 12th or the bottom of the 11th. They were just thinking any fly ball, any outfield is the game's over.
But if there's a fielder there, I mean, Mike Trout, the regular center fielder, has an arm.
He does. Oh, he was still out there.
You know, but he wasn't. Upton came in.
Yeah.
But there was no one in center field.
Well,
if Trout was in center field,
in left and
had
right
a chance
center.
To field that ball, catch that ball,
he's
and
not
have
making
a play
that
at the plate.
He's not making that play.
We'll never know now.
Well, I think
we'll never know now. My point is that might not have been the end of the game.
I don't blame Socha for that. I think he was. That's a smart move. You have to control any ground ball. There cannot be a ground ball single. Ground ball single.
You don't trust.
To end the
you
game
don't trust
is
your regular. Infielders?
No,
to,
because there are holes. There are holes, you know? It's like an empty net in hockey, you know? At the very end, you just got to go balls to the wall and get everybody
out
there. But
the batter at the plate, that wasn't Tony Gwynn there hitting in the 5.5 hole.
But again, anybody...
For 136 years of baseball, there's been a traditional layout of the defense.
You don't think that they did that 80 years ago with bottom of the 11th, man on third, one out?
No, I don't think they did that.
You don't think they ever brought in an outfielder?
I think they may have brought the outfielders in closer. But I don't think that they would have brought an outfielder in to play the infield as an additional infielder.
I don't think it's crazy. I think you have to really make sure that a ground ball single doesn't beat you. And, you know, it's infield is playing up. Infield is playing for the out at home. I mean, you have to. A fly ball in that park, you know, it's tough. It's tough to get the out unless you're Puig arm. Or maybe Cespedes. Trout's got a good arm, but it's not that good.
It wasn't a deep hit into center field.
It was
too.
Deep enough. Yeah, I think that ball, had there been a guy out there, even Trout wouldn't have made that play. Again, maybe Puig.
I would have liked
play,
to see it. That's my point.
Yeah,
and it just seems so odd to me why. I mean, because obviously, if
we're
just
talking about it, you know why you can't get beat on a ground ball. You can't end the game on a ground ball. Hey, if the guy gets a hit to the outfield, all right, fine.
But the goal of the pitcher is going to the batter is going to be able to elevate that ball anyway, because you want to hit a fly ball in that situation,
right?
Whether there's a fifth infielder or not,
that's true.
If the goal of the batter is to get it in the air for a sacrifice fly situation to end the game, you want the outfielders. You don't want five infielders. I understand you don't want to get beat.
Yeah,
but you got to trust your infielders. They're major leaguers, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. But okay, but Justin Upton's arm is not that great. And again,
Justin
Trout
Upton,
playing center, I don't know if he's making that play at the plate. I don't see it. Not from a guy tagging up. Maybe a guy at second base trying to make it home. Maybe. I mean, obviously that wouldn't happen if it was a fly ball out. But
and we also wouldn't have seen the shift if the runner was just at second.
Sure. Well, second and third. Oh, yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem crazy at the time.
I think
it's a cavernous outfield, you know. But I see what you're saying. The guy at the plate's going for a fly ball either way. I mean, he's not going. But the pitcher's throwing it down. So the pitcher, you know, they're trying to induce the ground ball. The pitcher knows that. He's not going to give him anything to elevate. I don't know. Was it Lowry, I think, who got that ball? I think he had to go down and get it. Not unlike that Cespedes home run we just saw.
That was a golf shot.
Off Strasburg. Anyway. A couple really big games. Of course, a few days ago, this is probably old news now, but Didi Gregorius had a career day. 4-hit, 8-RBI game. Most RBIs in a single game by any shortstop in Yankee history. Also the most RBIs by any Yankee in a home opener.
That's impressive.
Yeah, some guys who have never had a 2-homer, 8-RBI game. Babe Ruth, Mickey Mantle, Reggie, Barra, Winfield. Yeah.
Those are some big names.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. He's the first shortstop with 8 RBIs in a game since Nomar did it in 2002.
Nomar.
How about Wilmer Font has 2 sacrifices in 1 game as a relief pitcher? And technically, the second happened the next day. It happened after midnight. April 2nd, April 3rd. That was that horrible extra inning game, Dodgers and Diamondbacks.
Oh, yeah, the 15-inning marathon. Yeah.
I can't remember a time when I've seen a relief pitcher get 2 at-bats. But he got 2 sacrifices. I mean, he laid it down beautifully. It was great. It was beautiful. It was nice to see. I think he had over 70, maybe 80 pitches as a reliever. They weren't warming anybody up. They're like, all right, Wilmer. You know, and this tends to be a trend that I've noticed lately. I mean, maybe certainly the first half of the season, maybe in August, September, it's different, but managers sort of have this gentleman's agreement where they're not going to use their starters. And I don't know if it's more of a gentleman's agreement or more of sort of we don't want to
burn our starters out, but
20, 30 years ago, there wouldn't have even been a question. Your starter's coming in. You know, I mean, you have nobody left in the bullpen.
If you need the arm, you're going to do that. Yeah,
but they weren't doing that.
You need a guy.
Lovello and Roberts, it seemed like they were just going for broke on their last guy.
You gotta have a guy that can eat innings in the bullpen. That long
but
reliever.
80 pitches in like 7 innings. I mean, maybe I guess
I get it.
I know. I know it's early in the season, but I mean, every win matters. You know. I don't know how I feel about that. I know it's different. Times are different. Pitchers aren't as durable, let's say, as they used to be, or maybe they just they have trainers that make them.
I don't know.
Sit out or have exact exercise routines. And look, I get it. I don't want to see starting pitchers get hurt. But I mean, you know, really, you're just gonna sort of because like toward the end of that game, it just seemed like. All right, it's just whoever wants it. I don't know. It was almost like a pitching machine after a certain point, you know, which I guess maybe is fine. You know, maybe they're tired, but I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know if it has anything to do with durability. But there are, you know, all of these things about pitch counts and limiting pitches and everything. But
right,
the major league level, everything. You're going to have to. 8 innings, you're going to have to be able to throw the ball multiple times, whether you're a starter or a reliever. You know, if you can throw 80 pitches, great. Don't hurt yourself doing it.
Well, and, you know.
But you still got to be able to do that. You still have to have a guy that can come in and go 3, 4, 5 innings in extreme cases. There's not too many 15-inning games that they have. But when there is, it's a luxury to have a guy who can do that. So you don't have to bring a starter in out of rotation to close out a late inning game. Well, or
why don't they do that during the regular game? Then? Regular 9 innings, you know?
Well,
they wouldn't even think about doing that in the regular 9 innings.
Well, the regular 9 innings, you have. Most teams
have
12, 13 guys, you know, the pitchers, you know, 4 or 5 of them are starters. That leaves 7. guys out there. One guy is your specialist to close out games, and he's going to be, you know, one inning, two inning max. The rest of the guys probably only go one inning.
Right. If that.
But if you, you know, you still need a guy at amongst those five other relief pitchers who can go two plus innings.
No, I get it. I'm just.
But it is.
It just seems weird to me that, like, the game seems to mean less as the innings go on after nine. Like, it's like they stop trying as hard as they did before. And well, again, I get it. Like, I'm not, I know it's not
this was
that they don't want to do that. It's just that's what they have to do to preserve the health of their starting rotation. I get it. But again, 20, 30 years ago.
Are you going to bring a position player in to
No, I'm saying a starter. No, a starter. There, it seems like there's this common agreement between all of them where they're not going to bring in their starters, you know, after they've used everybody in their bullpen, you know, because Font was not coming out of that game. If that game went 18, he would have still been in there. That's what I'm saying. Like, he would have thrown like 150 pitches. It's kind of crazy. And the same with, I forget who was left in Arizona, but yeah, they had used all their bullpen. But what I'm saying is in the past, and again, maybe not this early in the season, but you would bring in your starters. You know, you'd have to. The game goes 15 innings. Yeah, you got to start bringing in a guy now on maybe not short rest, but, you know, that it's going to definitely affect his next start, sure. But, hey, there's a game going on right now, you know. Why are we worrying about 3 days from now? We got to worry about tonight, today. We got to win this game.
Right.
Again, it's early in the season, but I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like taking a little bit off, you know, taking your foot off the gas pedal a little bit just because, oh, everybody's tired or something. I don't know. Easy for me to say. I'm not a major league manager, but, you know.
When the race turns into a marathon, you've got to pace yourself. And, you know, there is, you know, and not to diminish the importance of any one game, but there are 162 games.
Well, I know.
And to go all out for a game in April.
But see, that's what I'm saying, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the season, you might be one game behind, two games behind. That one game matters. I know it's easy to say, it's a long season. It's a long season. And that's sort of like easy to say, oh, it's just a walk. It's just a walk with two outs. It's not a big deal. But it comes back to get you.
If the concern is preserving health, though, of those starters.
Again,
it's if you bring in a starter, he warms up. He's not used to his routine of starting a game.
Right.
He comes in, he does something weird to his elbow, throwing a pitch in a late inning game, and he's out for 3-4 starts. Now instead of
that
game
okay.
in April being one game back, now you have a potential of losing that starter for 4 or 5 games.
I know. I get it. But these guys need to toughen up, okay? Come on. We're here to win games. We're not here to pad personal stats. We're here to win games. Sometimes you got to step the F up and get out there and say, hey, give me the ball. Like, I want to close this game out. You know, yeah, I'm the day 3 starter. So what?
Especially against a division rival.
Yeah. Who's just swept your ass? Yeah, exactly.
Well, they hadn't swept their ass
quite, but I know. At that point, they had it. But I don't know. I know what you're saying, and I know the argument for why they didn't do it, and I get it. But I'm just saying I don't like the last. It seems to me like you're turning it down a little bit, like you're turning down the competition a little bit, and it's almost a slap in the face of the viewers. But anyway. I didn't think I was going to go on a rant, but hey,
I remember many years ago it was a game against the Diamondbacks at AT&T Park. The Giants and Diamondbacks went 17 innings. Talking about a marathon game, I watched every last out of that ultimately disappointing game. The Arizona won in the 17th on a home run. The game ended at like 2 in the morning.
Wait, you're talking about the NLDS? Or?
No, this is not the DS. This is a regular season game. This was many years ago. Someone who was at that game, parked in garage downtown San Francisco that closed at midnight.
Ooh.
They were locked out
of their
car.
And they lost.
Well, If he wasn't a Giants fan, he was a Mets fan, but he is a baseball fan.
That's weird.
And he was there enjoying the game. He stayed for the entire game. Lived in San Anselmo, the North Bay here in the Bay Area. Quite a long, he ended up calling all night ESPN radio, talking to the radio host, saying, "What are you doing up so late?" He said, "I just left the Giants Diamondbacks game, and I'm locked out of the garage where I parked my car." And he ended up a cabbie in San Francisco listening to the radio host, who gave a shout out to say, "Hey, come pick up David and his friend." And it worked. Cabbie came by, picked him up. "Hey, are you David? Just on the radio," and gave him a ride up to San Anselmo. Didn't charge him.
That's pretty cool.
One of those great stories of baseball bringing people together. But it was one of those marathon games, and pitchers worked, and they were trying to win the game. But at the same time, you have to be aware of, you still have 100-some-odd games to go in the season.
No. Those games don't matter. The only game that matters is right now. That's it. That's the only game that matters.
The game
you're currently playing.
Yeah. That is the correct attitude.
Why I would be fired immediately. I know.
The only game that matters is Game 7 of the World Series.
Oh, God. Don't remind me.
I'm going to remind you every chance I get.
No, don't do that. It's okay. How about Bartolo Colon? 44 years old. He's almost 45.
Another ageless wonder. Wait till Bartolo Colon pitches to Ichiro Suzuki this season.
Yeah.
Gotta be the oldest.
Possibly.
At bat.
Possibly.
Combined age 90.
This is, okay, so the Rangers, this is the 11th team Bartolo Colon has started a game for. The only person who started more for different teams since 1900 is Mike Morgan with 12. So if we get Bartolo in one more team, we'll see. He pitched Monday at the Coliseum in Oakland for the 38th time. How long ago was
the 38th time in Oakland that he pitched a game?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and just for a little perspective, his first start there is July 31st, 1998. In that game, he pitched to, just for a little perspective, he pitched in that game to Ricky Henderson, AJ Hinch, Matt Stairs, Tom Candiotti. Yeah, that's how long ago that was. That's pretty good.
That was a different A's team.
It's a totally different game now. The guy's he's got longevity.
Will there ever be another player like Ricky Henderson?
No. It actually brings me to my next point, and that's stolen bases.
Stolen bases.
Yeah, whatever happened to the stolen base? What happened?
It's a lost art.
It's gone. It's just gone. I mean,
it's gone the way of the bunt. For the most part, it's an afterthought. This guy also has the speed to steal bases. Well, is he going to steal any bases? And what's the metric when it comes to stolen bases?
Yeah.
And
managers don't seem to see the value anymore. Ricky Henderson made history by stealing 130 bases 36 years ago. Last year, there was one team in Major League Baseball that stole 130 bases. One team, and that was the Angels. It's insane. I mean, look, I know nobody's going to steal 130. I'm not asking for that, but it's, you know who led the American League in stolen bases last year? Whit Merrifield.
Who?
Yeah. 34. With 34.
34. Wow.
Stolen bases. Yeah. Led the American League. Yeah. Just 17 players stole 20 or more bases last year. There were twice that in 2004. There were 44 in 1999. At a time when seemingly the home run ball was king, there was, you know, it's gone. I guess it's a lost art. I don't know. I think it's more.
Do you think
managers don't see the value. But
what about the emphasis that has been placed on pitchers to hold runners on? Is that going to factor into anything?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, there's a lot of, you know, they have stopwatches and they, you know, nanoseconding every little thing that the pitcher does, and the pitchers have pitch out of the stretch a lot more now, or you know, no windups a lot of times. I'm sure there are a lot of factors. But
have pickoffs
that's
become more common?
That's a good question. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they have, but maybe just the threat of the pickoff and pickoff moves maybe have gotten better, unless your name is John Lester. But it's, you know, gone are the days of a runner at first with a green light. You know, I mean, maybe D. Gordon, maybe Billy Hamilton, maybe Trey Turner. Maybe they have green lights at all times. I don't know, though. I don't know. You know, it's also just baseball acumen. You know, Ricky Henderson he was a genius on the base paths. Are they teaching it anymore? Again, is the value there? That's the question. I don't know. I don't think so. I guess it's not. Although, you know, when you're in a tight game and a guy gets a stolen base, that's a big deal. It's always a huge deal.
Well, it's a free 90 feet.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. It's really weird. This huge decline in stolen bases.
And people still, I mean, it's still an exciting play. It's a very exciting play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get the runner takes off as the pitcher's coming, throw comes down to second base, and is he safe? Is he out? It's usually a close play.
Oh, yeah.
Not always, but it definitely puts pressure on a defense, puts pressure on a catcher, puts pressure on the hitter, on the pitcher, causes distraction. Why the value isn't there as it once was, even 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm. It's weird. Or maybe guys are afraid. You know, I mean, we saw Trout last year rip his thumb ligament sliding into second. He was out for 6 weeks.
Well, there's
killed my fantasy team.
There is that, the risk of injury.
And now they're wearing those oven mitts, you know. Have you seen those?
I have seen those.
I really don't know what. I mean, are those like foam rubber? Like, are those really going to protect your?
I haven't seen any up close. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I think they are, you know, meant so you don't hyperextend any ligaments doing the Pete Rose head first slide.
Right, which you're not supposed to do anyway.
It's a dangerous slide anyway. Yeah. That's why they're always encouraging to go feet first.
Right. Which doesn't seem to be much injury risk if you just go feet first.
Well, if you do it right, no.
Right. And you should know how to do it right if you're at that level in baseball.
It would seem like it. I learned how to slide correctly in Little League. I don't know what the problem is.
Shohei Ohtani. Huh? How about that?
A Showtime, they're calling him.
Well, with good reason. I mean, you know, his we haven't had a show since his first pitching debut. And he got a win, you know, 6 innings. He got the quality start as well, which is nice. Under 100 pitches, 3 earned runs, sure, but only 3 hits. 6 strikeouts. I mean, and 5 of the 6 strikeouts by way of the split finger, which is just dirty. You know, he doesn't look anything like Tim Lincecum, but his pitching arsenal kind of does. You know, he has the high 90s. He has a faster fastball than Lincecum. But then, you know, when Lincecum was Lincecum, right, 08, 09 Lincecum, and he would throw those high 90s fastball right at the guy's numbers and then just dump that splitter, right? Just, it was unhittable.
Yeah,
I mean, it
filthy,
was virtually unhittable.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Ohtani looked like. Yeah, he was doing that all game. He seemed to have complete control of his pitches, throwing those. He had 100 on the gun 3 times. I mean, triple digits as a starter is ideal, especially with command. A lot of guys like John Gray. I know John Gray is getting a little bit better now with the Rockies, but usually when you have that kind of velocity as a starter, you're kind of all over the map. Ohtani looked dialed in. I mean, he looked good. Yeah, it's and you have him on your fantasy team.
I do. I have him
as a
pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's only going to get a start every 6 days, but I mean, who knows? Again, you know, I was going to say after that start, well, maybe we'll start seeing him every 5 days and maybe he'll only bat 1 day a week, if at all. And then he proceeds to go to his home opener just killed the ball.
Starts ripping the cover off the ball.
Three-run home run, his first home at bat. Three-run shot. Ends the night 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs and 2 runs. And, you know, that's the third hit of the night that he hit. The inside fastball, he cranked that right up the middle. I mean, his singles, he's not getting cheated at all. I want to see the exit velocity on just his singles alone. I mean,
I saw
Stanton-esque.
Today, his single yesterday, I guess that would have been Wednesday. His single Wednesday, his bat velocity was 112.8 miles per hour.
Oh, what? Oh, the exit velocity?
I
believe it.
The hardest hit ball by a pitcher so far this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I believe that. That's for sure. And plus, then again, of course, Wednesday night, he goes up the next day. Oh, was it a fluke? I don't know. He's facing Kluber. Let's see. 2-run shot. Center field, no less. Pretty good. Pretty good. Now he's
in 429. It looks like the kid can play. I think that it's going to be an exciting year for the Angels.
It is.
I do.
According to Stats LLC, he's the first man to win a game as a starting pitcher and then hit a home run while starting as a non-pitcher since, of course, Babe Ruth. A mere 98 years ago. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, he had 3 pitches clocked at 100 miles an hour. So I wonder if he's the most exalted member of the 100 mile an hour 4-bagger club. You know, I wonder if.
Well,
I don't think Bumgarner ever hit 100 on the gun.
No, he's come close.
But okay, well, yeah. So there are. Here's a list of every pitcher in the last 10 years to throw 100 miles an hour and go deep. There's actually a few. Can you name one? Let me see. I have about 6 here, 7 here.
Can I name one?
Yeah, name one. The last 10 years.
The last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Give you a big hint. You just saw one. You just saw him about an hour ago.
Strasburg,
yeah. He is one of them. Noah Syndergaard is another one.
Okay.
Garrett Cole. Matt Harvey, surprisingly. I'm surprised there. Andrew Cashner.
Matt Harvey's hit 100 on the gun?
I guess, yeah. That was back when he was, you know, somewhat decent.
Young gun?
Yeah. I still can't believe he got the All-Star. I mean, do you remember this? Like in 2011, he got the start at the All-Star game ahead of Kershaw. That, of course, gives up 2 runs, and then Kershaw has to come in and save the day. Anyway, and the late, great Jose Fernandez. Yes. Yeah. So it's actually a few.
Yeah.
But I don't know if any of them did it in their first week as a major league player. That's pretty crazy.
Probably not.
Pretty crazy. So, you know, we'll see. So far, so good with him. But, yeah. A lot of weird opening week things. Like the Giants never won a 1-0 game all last year. And then, of course, they start the season with 2. Clayton Kershaw had never lost a 1-0 game in his entire career. And then, of course, opening day, he does. No pitcher hit 3 batters in the first inning of a game all last year. But Jose Ureña did in the first inning.
Oh, man. Bruises to go around, huh?
Oh, yeah. Garrett Cole got 21 swings and misses in his first start as an Astro. And he got that many swings and misses in how many of his 127 starts as a Pirate? 0. So he's looking pretty good. Astros are stoked. Adam Eaton went 5-for-5 in his second game with the Nationals, and he's never done that in his career either. Kenta Maeda got a 10-strikeout game, and he had 0 of those last year. Stanton, of course, had 2 home runs in his first game as a Yankee. He hit 1 home run as a Marlin, 29. Anyway, I don't know. I'm just it was a pretty crazy week, and that brings us to last week's trivia question.
Yes,
please remind me.
Last week's trivia question was about, funny enough, triple plays.
Okay, what do we got?
Again, just to remind everyone, since 1876, the Major League Baseball has combined for 716 triple plays. What single player has hit into the most? And, of course, the bonus question, how many?
Ooh.
Did we get any mails, any submissions?
We did.
Any guests? Do you we have did. A guess yourself?
I was going to say, so we have an answer from Taylor C.
Taylor C? All right.
He or she, I guess it could be a girl, says Pujols, because he didn't do a lot of double plays. That's the only thing I was thinking of also.
It's a reasonable guess.
And
it's
guess. Yeah, I don't know if there is any sort of correlation there, you know, between, like, so if you can do a lot of double plays, it means you're a good hitter. You know, the top
typically,
five
yes.
double plays, guys grinding are all, like, some of the best hitters of all time. But I don't know if there's any correlation for triple plays. I can't see there being any real pattern. So, I don't know. We have another guess.
Double plays are also a lot more common than
right.
than a triple plays.
Of course.
You see, maybe you possibly
it's a tough question.
Two or three double plays a game.
Sure.
And maybe two or three triple plays a year, if you're lucky. Yeah, and...
Yeah,
and
so I can't see any pattern or
stars.
Any sort
got, stars kind of have to align
right.
for a triple play.
It must be luck. Well, okay, so
or
we have
bad luck depending on your perspective.
Well, right,
but Albert Pujols is an
not
incorrect
correct.
Answer.
Okay.
Yes,
we have Lizaveta from Signal Hill says Larry Walker. Ooh, that's interesting.
Larry Walker.
That makes sense because he's probably. There's probably a lot of guys on base when he's up to bat. Yeah, that's actually a good guess.
Another prestigious hitter who hits into a lot of plays.
Exactly, probably batting fourth in the lineup and good Colorado team.
Larry Walker, another good guess, but incorrect.
Incorrect.
We are talking about a Hall of Famer.
Okay. All right, I'll throw a shot in the dark here. George Brett.
George Brett.
Yeah. No,
angry pine car aside, no, it was not George Brett.
All right, I'm stumped.
The answer is the one and only Brooks Robinson.
Brooks Robinson.
Brooks
wow.
Robinson hit
really?
The player to hit into the most triple plays in his career, hit into four triple
Oof,
plays in
Jesus.
His 23-year
career.
Oh, my
God. That's going to make you question your own religion if you hit into four triple plays in one career. Jesus.
Oh, we're talking about a pretty prestigious career, talking about 10,600-plus at-bats.
Sure.
And a Hall of Fame 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
23 years, four triple plays. Okay. But he puts his name in a record book, in the record books in an entirely different place, unexpected place. But Brooks Robinson, four triple plays in his career.
I wonder how many he's been a part of on the other side. I mean, he has 16 gold gloves. He's probably started a couple. Or maybe not. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe not.
Wasn't he the answer to another one of our trivia questions
he
in
was.
The past?
He was. That's his second answer.
I didn't realize you're such
Robinson.
An Orioles fan over here.
I don't know.
The show's turning into East Coast bias, by the way. Which, you know.
Well, you know, the Orioles do wear the correct colors, being orange and black.
That's sad. Alrighty, well, okay, that'll do it for this week. We do have one trivia question for you guys. Come on, we haven't had a winner yet. I mean, now these trivia questions are pretty good. They're not as easy to look up, and so I like.
And that's
that.
By design. We do want to encourage research and real thought about baseball, not just some of that. Anyone can find the answer to right. as a casual baseball fan.
Yeah, and I'm sure you still can, but I think our fans are pretty good at not trying to cheat overtly. Although there is a free beer and chicken and maybe a t-shirt if and a trip to this warm and dank little studio high atop the Knob Hill, which we love to broadcast from. Well, we don't really have a choice, so what are you going to do? Come to San Francisco. You got to get here first.
Free chicken and beer.
Free chicken and beer.
That sounds cheat-worthy to me.
It's pretty good.
I think it might be a slightly easier question.
Okay. All right.
Question for this episode.
What do you got?
Who? Well, let's start with our opening day. We had two walk-off home runs on opening day. Who led the majors in walk-off home runs in 2017?
Who led Major League Baseball in walk-off home runs?
And walk-off home runs, not just hits, and home runs.
Okay.
Four baggers to end the game walk-off style in 2017.
That's pretty, okay.
We can add a bonus there, too, with how many did this individual hit.
Ooh, I like that. All right.
I can even lay out a hint, but maybe I won't.
No. I think this one might, it's narrowed down a bit, so yeah. I think,
all right.
Yeah, and if you watched a lot of baseball last year, you might have a, you might be able to narrow it down to a top three kind of guy. I think I have an idea, but I'm thinking actually National League, but I'm actually sure I'm probably wrong. No hints, though. I don't know the answer. We will find out next week.
Yes, do give us your answer. baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com, at Facebook at West Coast Bias Podcast, and
Podomatic website, podomatic.com/podcasts/West Coast Bias.
Submit your answer.
iTunes either, sure. Yeah.
Submit your answer to any of those places. Like us, subscribe, and keep listening, as we love to talk about baseball. Hopefully you do too.
I am Adam Nelson.
And I'm Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.